Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Good. Chris, I want to visit with you and with our audience today about the proposals that we're hearing from some of the new members of Congress. And they're not libertarians that are making these proposals. A few of them, are quite willing to call themselves socialists and progressive. Progressive they are not, although that word is used. They're bleeding hearts. And they think the solution to the problem, and I don't know which problems they're specifically pointing out, but it's that there are too many rich people. And therefore, we have to tax them. But their motivation can't be the fact that the unemployment statistics are bad. You know, right now, there's pretty good employment for minorities, better than ever, and yet they're able to stir up a lot of interest in a socialist program of taxing the rich. It's bad to be rich. If you're a billionaire, you're evil, you're immoral. And I'd like to sort of dissect that all out because there are a lot of rich people, but there's quite a bit of difference between money that somebody earns and one that accumulates wealth as a benefit from the monetary system and the government system and the government spending. Big difference. So attacking wealth just per se is hardly going to be the answer. But it hardly can be the answer that government interference and taxation is going to be the solution to the problems that we do have. Guess what? From too much government and too much intervention and too much regulation, too much war, too much inflation by the Federal Reserve. So they don't deal with that. But the members that are promoting this are around. They've been around for a long time. But boy, it just seems like they're getting a lot of attention right now, which is sort of surprising. But again, the media, which is very instrumental in what happens in this country, really pump it up. You know, and if you're not for taxing those billionaires and the rich people, then you're an immoral person. So the morality issue, I think, is important. What is moral? A wealthy person that earned his wealth, or the morality of government redistribution of wealth and the management of wealth. And it turns out that I don't think it's very difficult to understand that what government does from the viewpoint of personal liberty and morality, it seems like the policies of the government, as I see it, are immoral. And that is a reflection that there's a lot of immoral people who end up in government, and there's a lot of immoral reason why government does so many things that they shouldn't even be doing. So if you look at what's happening in the economy with the Federal Reserve or the wars we fight, the intervention, the special interests, those are the immoralities we want to deal with, rather than saying, we found the answer. Too many rich people. We have to make sure we can destroy the rich people and everything will be equitable because we want equality. For some reason, Chris, I don't think that's going to work.
Of course, it won't work and can't work. And we're specifically talking about Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez, who has quickly figured out how to keep her name in the headlines almost on a daily basis. So this was this week's topic. She talked about how a system that allows is an interesting word, billionaires to exist is immoral as long as there's still poverty. And like Dr. Paul pointed out, you can't lump all billionaires together. They're not all the same on how they acquire their wealth. And even looking past that, government fundamentally cannot alleviate poverty because it doesn't create wealth. Wealth has to be created, and government just doesn't do that. So they can't alleviate wealth. They can steal wealth, and they surely do that. And that's the immoral part. If the congresswoman wants to talk about immorality, government theft of anybody's property is immoral. I mean, that's a basic tenet of morality. And in 2019, we still have to talk about how theft is wrong. So we'll look into this more, but I think we're going to focus on where the real immorality is.
Yes, and I think the moral issue is very important. A lot of times we neglect that on our side, and it's all only used when they're going to use authoritarian government to say, well, we have to correct things with a moral approach. You know, the most popular bumper sticker I ever had, I had it on my desk in Washington, D.C., and no matter who came into the office, we're very pleased with it, even though they maybe didn't fully understand it nor endorse it. But the bumper sticker simply said, "Don't steal. The government hates competition." And that says it all, but it recognizes the fact that taxation and redistribution of wealth and regulating people's lives and regulating the economy it should be illegal. Taxation is theft because it's taking money that the government didn't produce, and therefore they're artificially saying, we know best how to redistribute it. But if you look at history, though, you find out that the best distribution of wealth is through a free market economy. That is when you have the largest middle class and you have rich people. If you didn't have rich people, it wouldn't work. So if you destroy the incentive to become rich, you destroy, you know, the production of wealth. And as you pointed out, Chris, that government doesn't produce the wealth. All they can do is pretend that they know how it should be distributed. But there's no history that defends their position that this society will be so unfair if you didn't have these moral purities, puritarians. You know, they're in Congress and they're, oh, well, we know how. We want equity. We want equality. But they never mention really equality under justice. An equal system under justice is entirely different than pretending that you can have perfect equality economically. And it was tried, as a matter of fact, in our very early history in Plymouth Colony. They had socialism for 2 years at that colony, they were starving to death until Governor Bradford introduced the whole notion of maybe everybody should own their own land and there would be incentives. And it changed the whole thing. So they were involved in this argument way back. And because the conditions were tough as the settlement was made, they figured they needed government for survival. And what they didn't need was incentives. They needed private property and they needed to allow people to keep what they earned. And lo and behold, prosperity bloomed after that rule was changed. But we seem to never learn this lesson that people come along and they think they know what is best. But, you know, I think there's more to it than just an economic concern or an excuse for redistributing wealth. There's people who just like power and they want to be involved and they want their share. And the people who do this, who manipulate the redistribution of wealth, usually end up very rich. There were always some rich people who did quite well in the worst of societies, whether it was in fascism or communism. They would be able to do well. But I think the one thing that drives the emotions of the individuals who do this, and they will never admit it, but it's envy. The people come along and they say, there's a billionaire and I'm not a billionaire and I don't want to go out and dig ditches. I don't want to do any hard work because it's so unfair. So therefore, the best thing I can do is donate my services by joining the government, and I can get other people who share this envy, destroy the wealthy, get rid of them. And this envy will then allow other people to thrive better. If they understood economics, or if they understood morality, if they understood the issue of thou shalt not steal, they wouldn't do this. So they're not dealing in morality. They're dealing in what can we do? And when a person is envious, and if it's not working all that well in the redistribution, all they can do is tear down the wealth of the wealth and the benefits of a certain class of people, thinking that's going to deal with it. And I think that's where we are now. It's to say the truth of the matter is that people are doing pretty well right now, and there are jobs, but they're still very envious. We have to tear them down, and we have to destroy them no matter what. And that is an emotion that I think is driven by immorality, misunderstanding, not understanding economics, politics, and some flat out desirous of being dictators. Some actually believe they're born to take care of other people, because I think, you know, the theme of socialists, instead of being the bleeding heart and caring about the poor, they really base what they believe in on the fact that they don't trust the middle class. They don't trust poor people to have the incentives and responsibility to raise their kids and teach their kids whatever and earn a living. And therefore, they have to have somebody take care of them. But dealing with this issue of envy, I think, is a big issue. But the only thing we can do is try to counteract the bad fallacies and the beliefs in economics of the politicians who would like to address this subject, which seems to be very popular to address, with ideas that will only make things worse.
Mm-hmm. And we need as many billionaires, legitimate billionaires, as possible. The ones that serve us, that we buy their stuff voluntarily, that don't use government to shield themselves from competition, that don't use government to force us to buy their goods or services. Think Obamacare. I mean, isn't that a grand slam for anybody to have government force people to buy your stuff? I mean, think of like the yellow vests in France. They have to have those yellow vests. That creates wealth for somebody illegitimately. They wouldn't have sold all those vests on their own. But if government forces you to buy it, or even here in America, we're constantly forced to pay for these bombs that they're dropping in the deserts out there. And we have no choice in the matter. And that's just making people filthy rich because they're using government force. We have nothing to say. And even if we vote somebody in that wants to end the wars, it doesn't matter. So those are the people that need to, not necessarily the people that need to be torn down, the government involvement with these industries. They should get out of the economy and let natural billionaires rise up that serve us.
And I think there's a long list of things that the government does and policies that we have that benefits the wealthy. When I first went to Washington a long time ago, you know, in the 70s, I think I had the impression that welfare was bad, it wasn't moral, and I had this understanding we shouldn't have the welfare system. But I think in my mind, I kept thinking of food stamps for the poor, and I thought that was a tough thing to argue. But it turned out the longer I was in Washington, the more I studied foreign policy, the more I studied monetary policy and fiscal policy, the more I convinced that the food stamps, the welfare system, served the rich. And the climactic end to that understanding happened these past 10 years, because it has been the QE creation of trillions and trillions of dollars, which now even Federal Reserve members, Federal Reserve Board members, have admitted, you know, it didn't work out the way we thought. We thought it would help the general population, but we realize now it was helping the stock market. There are people who are admitting that was the case, that it didn't work. But guess what? In these past 10 years, with a lot of struggling, they say we've been out of the recession for a long time. No, if people forget, but you know, these past 10 years, those first 5 or 6 years were really, really bad. But most of the money, and this is a thing that some of the Federal Reserve Board actually acknowledged, that the money went into the coffers of the very wealthy. Instead of being distributed, it went into the stock market. And I think, of course, there's others who accuse that is deliberate. It wasn't an accident. And they have thrived. So it's not a coincidence. It's actually a cause and effect that we have more billionaires now, and there's more resentment than ever because of the recession that was created by the Fed, and it was so bad that they had to create trillions of dollars. They're still floating around, and they don't know what to do with it, but the billionaires are out there. And I can understand that one thing is that I'm challenging the socialist approach of, well, let's just tax the rich. But I do understand their emotional desire to do something about it, but it's not intellectual. You know, they're authoritarians, they're thugs on the street. They want to use government power to solve the problem, grab from one to the other, not even questioning who's guilty. But the ideas are guilty. Ideologically, the whole monetary system established 100 years ago has come to a bad fruition, and it has closely approaching a climactic end. And certainly certainly with the last recession, it was a lot of signals out, and the signal now is the QEs haven't worked, and they're going to struggle. So I think this clamor is going to get much worse for government takeovers of everything, even though in these last few years with Trump, with all his problems, less regulations and lower taxes actually have been helpful. I believe, though, that the trouble will come, and it'll be free markets once again that will get blamed. So our job is try to explain that just taxing superficially the rich people is a very dangerous way to go, and that we should be talking more about what liberty is all about and the moral principle of liberty, and applying the moral principle to economic policy as well. Chris, I think we have to go in that direction.
Right. And I'll finish, Dr. Paul. People should take, even though they sound silly, Congresswoman Cortez's ideas seriously, because the way government works, it always uses an opening wedge. Whenever they say something is temporary, you could bet that it's going to be permanent. When they give original costs for something, you could comfortably triple what they're saying is how much it's going to cost, and many times even more than triple. And many people may not know this, but the way that the income tax was sold to the American people, it was originally only for the top 2% richest Americans. That's the opening wedge. So people are like, oh, who cares about them? Just like today. But by the time the world wars that America shouldn't have been in started, everybody's paying income tax. And here today, we're all paying income tax. So even though Ocasio-Cortez is trying to sell this as just something for people that are way richer than you, you have nothing to worry about. The rule with government is if you give them an inch, they're eventually going to take everything.
That is right, and this issue has been around for a long time, because if everybody took seriously the whole issue of thou shalt not steal, I think that's been around more than a couple hundred years, and it's really endorsed by all the great religions. But the fallacy has been, and the split has become, that we believe, I think most Americans would even agree, that stealing from each other is not good. It's sinful to go into somebody's house and steal their property. It's still done a lot, but most people, fortunately, would acknowledge that is illegal and immoral, and it shouldn't be done. But what has happened is that we have given some exemption to some people. Some people are allowed to do that, and those are the officers of the government, because they're good and they know what's right and they won't cheat and they'll always make sure that everybody will get equal benefit. And therefore, the people say, well, I need it. I want some help. So I'm going to endorse this redistribution attitude that they offer us. So they go along and they let that happen. But, you know, even in recent history, in the middle part of the 19th century, there was a famous French writer, Bastiat, who wrote about the law, and he dealt with this moral principle. He says the moral principle is that if you and I can't do it, the government's not allowed. If we can't counterfeit the money, the Federal Reserve is not allowed to counterfeit the money. And he used the term plunder. The government should not be allowed to plunder. But this crisp definition and difference between, theft and morality is what we need to understand. Because right now it's very confusing, because more people, the more they join in and say redistribution, is very beneficial. But the whole thing is a lot of the motivation for acceptance of redistribution is for the food stamps for the poor. Like I thought was the most significant cause. But no, if you endorse that principle, you're only expanding that principle of government being involved in taking care of groups, and it ends up, then the lobbyists come in, then they get control of the Federal Reserve, then they get control of the budget, and lo and behold, you have the billionaires. So that is the problems, but it is a sympathy for the poor. The people endorse this envious redistributionist philosophy and leading to the trouble. It won't work, hasn't worked, and we have a desperate struggle in front of us. And I think within not too many years, a major decision will be made. And we have to offer at least, as best we can, the chance for the American people to choose liberty. Liberty will lead to the prosperity, and it's based on a moral principle that we should all endorse. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.